CEO, the Assembly has asked that he be at our meetings, and so he's here tonight to give an update as soon as Kim provides you with the list.
Well, he's the first one on the list this evening. If you'd come forward, just state your name. You don't have to give your address.
Robert Rang, 310 Bennett Street. I'll use that one.
Fine.
Yeah, just there's, given the concerns at the hospital with finances and stuff, I figured it was good to give you guys an update. We closed out the month of April with $680,000. Last Friday, cash update was $654. We are current on all our bills, meaning that they're getting paid within the 30 days, so that's not an issue. Of that $650,000, though, that we have, keep in mind that $250,000 of it is this line of credit that we have with the city. That also includes $150,000 that we have that was given to, as a gift through the foundation towards the purchase of a new ultrasound machine. We have not purchased that yet, even though they've given us the money a couple months ago. I'm not sure if you guys have been following the state legislature, but we're still not out of the woods yet with the Medicaid supplement, and it's a very good possibility that the state will run out of Medicaid money before the end of the fiscal year, which means sometime towards the end of this month or even early June, they'll quit making Medicaid payments, and so that could put us in a bind until the 1st of July when the new fiscal year starts. With that said, we did have a survey during the week of April 23rd by the DHS office. This is the time in which they come through looking at all our long-term care practices, both on the patient care, resident care side of things, as well as the building itself. During their exit interview, there's quite a few items that they noted. We don't get the final report until the end of this week, in which time we'll have about 2 weeks to respond to that. Most of the items are pretty low-hanging fruit, easy fixes. There's going to be a couple of things that we will have to probably change our process in doing. Part of that is because of the new regulations that have come out over the past year, just trying to keep up with all that. As far as the building was concerned, there's a couple of concerns there, but, and I've been sharing with Lisa that most of those will be some easy fixes. There's going to be some that, depending on how they write it up and address it, we might have to invest a little bit of money into it to get in compliance with the life safety code of that. And I'll keep you guys informed. We do have currently, as far as major expenditures that could be possible, I'm sure Lisa's shared with you in the past, we do have some sprinkler head testing that had to go be done. We have not gotten the results back to that. Worst case scenario, it'd be about $115,000 if we have to replace all those sprinkler heads. So far, though, we have not gotten a report. We should get that back in the next couple of weeks. As far as our budget goes, we're still working on getting ready for the next fiscal year budget. We'll be presenting that to our hospital board at the meeting later this month. Best case scenario, though, we were anticipating about a $650,000 loss for next year. We are not requesting any capital, obviously, and we've not done any capital purchases this year, even with the stuff that you guys approved last year. So you got any questions? That's all I've got for you. Yeah.
What's the bill number of the Medicaid supplement?
I'm sorry.
Do you know the bill number for the Medicaid supplement bill?
There, I do not. Offhand, I do not know.
I don't know. I'll have to track that. I've been dealing with other legislative stuff.
I've been very, with that said, though, Julie, I've been very impressed with both Ortiz and Stedman. They've been very receptive to understanding the challenges that Wrangell Medical Center has been going through and addressing it accordingly during the first round of getting that, you know, the first half of that getting approved.
Couple. The $100,000 that the Hospital Foundation gave you, you keep counting that as a part of your cash on hand. Was that earmarked, or is there attachments to that from the Hospital Foundation that it must be used for the ultrasound machine?
That's what the reason that they gave it to us for the purchase. Okay.
So when you were speaking...
And a colonoscopy.
And a colonoscopy machine.
Equipment.
So when you were speaking just now, you said that you're not making that purchase because you're worried about the Medicaid supplemental. So have you talked to the Hospital Foundation about their feelings about you potentially utilizing that money in your day-to-day operations?
Not yet, I have not.
Okay, so I think until that's done, I'd sure like to see that number backed out of there so we have a realistic picture of cash on hand, because that money actually was gifted by the Hospital Foundation, and they may not appreciate, I don't know, but I would sure want to make sure that that's okay before we counted that.
Unfortunately, with our the way we do our booking system. We have to carry it. Once the money's given to us, we have to carry it. So, but I can, as I give updates, I can subtract it ahead.
Yeah, I think to us, I appreciate that your county may force you in a certain direction, but to the assembly, because for me, a part that I want to understand, you know, I always talk about a canary in the mine. I don't want any last minute sort of, hi, we need $250,000 for payroll. I know we still have that set up, but given the sort of flow of how we're moving with search, you know, if we move forward with a merger or a takeover and we put out 500 or whatever, hundreds of thousands of dollars, we may not receive that back. And, you know, I don't know, we don't know what those negotiations could potentially look like. So I think it's incumbent upon the assembly to protect the interests of the community by making sure that we're, you know, we're aware of what's coming down the pipe. But what is your outstanding, you know, when you're talking about the 250,000 that you're including currently, so we still have the 250,000 outstanding that we have in the line of credit, correct? That hasn't been paid back to the city. And then we have another 250 that we earmarked and said was available for your use. My question is, what do you have outstanding with Medicaid, Medicare receivables, and does it come close to covering Burroughs 250?
Accounts receivable, about $2.5 million.
Okay, so $2.5 million, and what's your expected, payback on that? What do you realistically assume that you're going to receive off that account?
Contractually, probably about 1.8.
1.8.
But unfortunately, this is the timing of which that gets paid, whether it be Medicaid, Medicare, commercial, and then we've got private pay, which accounts for about 6% of that. You're on payment.
We have better luck collecting private pay or the Medicaid.
Right now, it's probably private pay. That 20% discount that we rolled out actually did pretty good. For the month of first month of April, we collected about $20,000 out of that, and that was after the discount was given.
Okay. And then I know a while ago there was some talk about we had several major potentials and one for sure. Expenditure coming up. The insurance, what have we done about the insurance, your payment for the insurance, and have we looked into the possibility of extending payments over a period of time versus a lump sum? I think that was 100 plus.
We have talked about that.
Okay, and what is...
Unfortunately, the 100 grand, you round 100, it's usually between 90 to 100,000. We haven't gotten the new rates this year, but that's what we paid up, that you have to pay up front at the beginning of the fiscal year. The rest of it can be made in payments over the course of the remaining 11 months.
So the $100,000 is just a partial payment?
Partial payment of different things, our D&O insurance, our liability, property, the various entities that keep us, the doors open.
And so we are still looking at that $100,000 coming up. What date is that due?
Usually 1st of July. It'll vary depending on when they send us the invoices.
And my last question is, can you highlight for us some areas that you've taken action in, given the current fiscal crisis, in terms of how you've been trimming and consolidating your costs to manage this sort of short-term crisis?
We've been on a shoestring budget since I've gotten here, to be honest with you. We haven't been spending a lot. But with that said, because our census has been low and our expenses, we've been saving about somewhere between 6 to 7% the past couple of months. Most of that just in supplies. Part of that is because obviously if we don't have the patient volume, you're not using the supplies.
Sure.
The other aspect of that is our purchasing's been pretty good about not trying to keep the shelves quite as full, understanding that that you have a turnaround time from the time you order until freight shows up, and making sure we don't run out, but at the same time not trying to be as plush as we have been in the past.
And are you doing some long-term visioning for, like, with your board in terms of that if you guys, let's say this merger goes forward, if that's the direction we're heading in, it looks like there's some positive stuff on the horizon with that. Are we looking at sort of slowing down expenditures that will be, you know, for long-term gain if we're looking at mergers? So, for example, I don't know, if you're looking at creating a new department or running a new program, that perhaps maybe if search was in there that we wouldn't be doing that?
Yeah, as much as possible. I mean, we don't have the capital adding on in new service lines anyway, but with the understanding that we're kind of keeping the status quo as we perfect. Wait out to figure out what's going to happen in the next month or so.
Thank you, Robert. That's it. Appreciate it.
Yeah. The new equipment, $100,000 that is earmarked for that, is, do we have a match that we have to produce for that?
No, Drew, that was $150,000. It was actually $150,000. And it was gifted to us through the foundation for the sole purpose of using it towards the new ultrasound machine and then the balance going towards the colonoscopy equipment.
Is there any reason at this point not to purchase that equipment?
To be frank, I actually asked him to hold off on purchasing the equipment until we knew what was going on. And I fully understand that that money is earmarked for something, but I was very hesitant for the hospital to make any major purchases in light of the fiscal constraints that we're in right now. So frankly, the reason why they haven't purchased anything is because I made that request of Robert.
I would further say that if we're working into a merger with Search, and Search has clearly stated they're not taking any of this equipment over to the other hospital, why would we buy something brand new that we don't know? It would make sense not to.
But keep an eye on, we're not buying it. We do need a new ultrasound.
No, I understand, but I guess what I'm just saying is that I don't know.
The advantage, to be honest with you, though, is it would show that we do have some assets.
Right.
As part of the negotiations.
We have several years until the new hospital is built and the Search will be taking over, I'm assuming, right? Or would they be taking over?
I actually have an update on that for you as part of my report.
So. Okay, then I guess I'll hold off for that conversation. My concern is, we're hanging on to this money that's been gifted to us with the intent of possibly using it for other things. That money was gifted to us for the sole purpose of buying that equipment that we needed. We still obviously have a need for that equipment, correct?
Correct.
So even in the meanwhile, depending on how long it takes, I would consider bringing up the purchase of it. But
and I have, on a weekly basis, Lisa and I have been communicating regarding our finances and part of that as well. As soon as I feel more comfortable knowing that the Medicaid supplement is going to extend, get us through to the end of the fiscal year, I can have that conversation regarding that. But again, whether we purchase it or not, I'm either going to have to give the money back to the foundation or purchase the equipment. It's not ours. I've just been holding off on buying that because that $150,000 accounts for about just a little over 5 days of cash on hand.
Any further questions?
How much cash on hand do you have?
We're at right now. We've got about counting.
Yeah.
Okay, if you subtract 150 and the 250 that Steve was asking about, that gives us about nine days right now.
So we don't have a pay cycle. Is that correct? So
pardon me.
We don't even have one pay cycle.
Right.
And on the horizon, Robert, is there some relief? Do you see some of your receivables coming in or?
Volume's been up for the month of April, so we're starting to see some of that revenue coming in. We build out a lot of that towards the end of the month, so we're starting to see some of that come in. If that's what you're asking, we're starting to see some. Our census in long-term care actually increased a little bit, and then the acute side's been fairly busy.
And you are staying in constant communication with Lisa so that we are prepared should we need to step in and figuring out how we would do that?
Right.
Anything further? Thank you. Next person on the list is Lauren Cook. If you'd come to the microphone and state your name for the record, please.
I also have these to hand out to the assembly members. Lauren Cook, 5.4 miles Mobile Highway, and I'll just okay, you can have mine as soon as I'm done with it. I'm here in front of the City Council today to inform you the effects of the recent changes. Last Borough Assembly meeting, the members voted to not change the job description of the meter reader groundman. This had some adverse effects on our department as follows. The meter reader no longer performs the installs, disconnects, testing of meters, as well as programming meters. This unfortunately has changed the efficiency of our already short-staffed crew. We are in the middle of some capital projects of trying to rebuild Church Street. This new change has impacted the way the lineman is able to do the work. They are hindered with install and disconnects that come in daily. People are constantly moving into new places, as well as the boats and the harbors changing. This change has added additional workload on the linemen that already have a huge workload. Once a month, we do disconnects for non-pay. This was also a meter reader job duty. This is now on the linemen to take care of. Having the meter reader do these tasks is essential to our department. It is hard for a lineman to stop in the middle of a project to fill the open hole that the borough assembly has created. I understand the city is on a tight budget. However, you are paying more money for a lineman to do this job duty, as well as the work that they were set to perform for that daily routine. These new digital meters were being installed in our system with 20 meters a month. However, it is hard to get completed with not having the time to perform this duty. The lineman simply does not have the time to take this added burden, and simply is why the meter reader assumed the responsibility. The meter reader currently is at step 4. Different from what was discussed at the previous meeting of that of step 7. This job has evolved with the evolution of digital meters that require programming. It has been assumed that the meter reader is supposed to do these tasks on a day-to-day basis. The management worked due diligently to accommodate these changes in relation to the current job description. The meter reader job description does not state other duties assigned. It states other duties that are relative to the work. Installs, disconnects, programming, and testing are not a part of that job. A meter reader strictly reads meters. The groundman is there to assist the linemen during their work on the line system. The change that management was asking for was that of work that was already being performed, but was not yet recognized for. I have attached to this the current job description as well as the proposed one for review. As well attached, the wage table highlighted in orange is the current wage of the meter reader. Highlighted in yellow are the positions that require a CDL, which the meter reader position also requires. I stand here today to ask the Assembly to reconsider the decision and bring this back to the table. This will help our department to work efficiently. It will allow the linemen to continue their capital projects as well as updating the meters in our system. Without updating these meters from mechanical, this is contributing to the system line loss. And essentially, the city's losing money.
Anyone have any questions for Mr. Cook? Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I have one.
The next three people are all on the same subject, which is an agenda item. You can either speak to that now or when it comes up on the agenda.
Agenda for me, please.
All three of you? Yes, okay. Amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments? Conflict of interest. Does anyone have a conflict of interest on any agenda item?
Yes. Concerning item 13A, school budget, I'm presently work for the school system.
Ditto.
Well, I know the two of you that
yep.
do, so, but neither one of you will benefit over anyone else that works for the school. Is that correct?
Correct.
I don't see a conflict. Item 6, consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
Been moved and second. Is there any discussion? Roll vote, please.
Assembly members Howell?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Howell?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Pratt?
Yes. Item 7, Borough Manager's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a couple of additions to the written report that's in your agenda packet. The first of which is I'd like to wholeheartedly thank the Friends of the Library who were out in force on Sunday for a good part of the day doing all sorts of wonderful landscaping work at the library, and it looks wonderful. So thank you for all of your work, those volunteers. We really appreciate that. The second thing I want to mention is we have moved forward advertising for the temporary staff for the water treatment plant, the summer help that assists with the filter work, et cetera, up at the water treatment plant. But because there is only a short period of time left in this fiscal year, the advertisement was only put out for 6 weeks, and we only were able to get one applicant for those two positions, and we are desperately in need of more. Our public works director explained to me the reason she believes there was such a short turnout in terms of applications is because it was for the six-week time frame, because that's all the funding we have available right now toward the end of the fiscal year. What I have done is I have directed her to put that advertisement back out immediately for the full duration of the summer as anticipated, with the assumption that money for those positions will be in the budget, because we can't afford to not have our water system cleaned and operational as efficiently as possible. So unless you guys have objection to me putting that out based on that assumption, the public works director will put that back out. Okay. The other very good news that I have for you today is I will be emailing out a copy of the concept plan of the new hospital that has been provided to search, so that everybody can take a look at that and see what it looks like. And for the mayor's information, there is no flat roof.
Great.
It is a pitched roof. Who averted that crisis? So just wanted to make sure everybody listening knows they're not planning to put in a flat roof building. Wold Architects has been invited back up, and on May 20th and 21st, they would like to do we would like to have a similar gathering of the steering and stakeholder committee on Sunday, May 20th in the afternoon, and then on Monday, the evening of the 21st at the Nolan Center, have the second report out to the community that we discussed at the first meeting to talk about the concept and the potential plans for moving forward. The other thing in relation to the discussion that was held earlier with Mr. Rang about hospital operations in a transition, Search has advised me that they would like to assume operations of the hospital within 120 days or less, if possible. So they would like to move very quickly in that regard and are looking at working through this as quickly as possible, such that our due diligence can be done on both sides, obviously. They completed they're calling their deep dive of the hospital, the existing hospital facility, so that they understand what the needs are, the potential liabilities and obligations will be for them. If they assume hospital operations, they will be taking over maintenance of the facility, such that there will be no obligation to the borough once they take over operations. And I will tell you that the report that they got back from their engineers to bring the existing hospital building up to code and to meet current standards is approximately $24 million. So I can tell you for sure there is absolutely no question in my mind that a new facility is necessary.
Could we just get it off island?
Just
get it off island. We may have a rock that we could put in. A
couple extra containers is all.
So, anyway, so Mr. Dan Neumeister and I spoke about today with regard to this situation is, they would, what we are hoping is that the steering committee will make a recommendation to the assembly following the meetings on May 20th and 21st, and that the assembly would take official action to make a decision to move forward to the next step, so that we would say, yes, we want to move forward with Search in getting ready to go into those binding agreements that we talked about with Search assuming hospital operations and obligating themselves to build a new hospital here in Wrangell. So on the 12th, we're not asking for any documentation to be approved, just that we're saying yes to moving to the next step.
Sorry, on the 12th?
Of the 12th of June.
Okay.
Did I say May? I apologize.
I was hitting the wrong one.
Okay. So that's where we stand there. And like I said, I will get the concept information out to you that I have from Search. I'll get that emailed out to everybody tomorrow so you have it. It's a fairly substantive PowerPoint PDF document, so lots of great information. And Wold Architects has done a systematic review of every aspect of hospital operations and has replied to that basically in the design, and not only has done that based on current hospital operations, but also all of the aspects that were discussed in the stakeholder and steering committee meetings that were held previously. So they've, in my opinion, done an excellent job responding to the needs of the community and ensuring that the level of health care and the offerings that we have now are maintained in the new facility. And they've taken a very unique approach to sizing the building as efficiently as possible, but making sure that we have everything we need. I'm really impressed with the things that I've seen in the information. So hopefully the rest of the community is as well. The final thing I have to add to my report is that I testified today on the capital budget in front of the House Finance Committee. As I mentioned to all of you in an email I sent out, I think it was just yesterday, so much has happened since then. The governor made a second ask of the legislature that the money for the Byford cleanup be put in the capital budget. And as I reported yesterday, $2.5 million made it into the Senate budget with the explicit understanding from the Senate that the House would put the rest in. The single, in my opinion, is the single biggest issue in terms of time spent by the House Finance Committee today was spent on Byford Junkyard. Of all of the things in the state going on, of all of the things in the capital budget, the most time was spent discussing the additional $2.5 million for Byford. And was it really needed? And in addition to myself and members from WCA and other private members of the community testifying before Senate Finance, members of ADEC staff were brought in to testify in front of House Finance, as was Pat Pitney, the director of OMB. So there was a considerable amount of information sought by them. There were a lot of questions asked about, has the community put any money in this? What's their match been? They asked questions about the monofill, and is that safe? And, you know, DEC answered a whole host of different questions, and I unfortunately was unable. I had another call I had to take from a citizen, so I was unable to hear the other testimony, but I know Esther answered some questions from members of the legislature. I answered some questions from members of the legislature in addition to testimony. So there is a lot of interest in this, and I will tell you that there is concern that was made, and it's hard to pass the red face test asking for $5 million for our community for one thing, despite how, no matter how important that might be, when the entire tourism budget for the state of Alaska has been cut to $2 million, and our community is asking for five. And when we have members of the legislature who say, I can't even get $1.5 million for one of the communities in my district, and Wrangell's asking for $5 million for a project on which $8 million has already been spent, and a total of 18 will be, it's hard to pass the red face test sometimes with things like that. So I was very impressed with the amount of time and due diligence that was given by House Finance to this issue, rather than just saying, under no circumstances are we going to do this. They actually were looking for additional information and wanted very clearly to understand why this project was important and why we needed additional money to do this. I have no idea whether or not the additional funding will come based on what the needs of the entire state are. Representative Les Guerra did ask today specifically if half of the money could be left in this year and another half could be put in next year rather than the full amount this year. And the response that I gave to that was, because he asked what the critical nature was, and I explained that the pile is stabilized where it's at, but the liner is continuing to deteriorate and has to be checked daily and is being fixed daily and weekly, and any money that the pile would have to be completely restabilized this year if it had to stay over another year, and that would be money that would be taken away from a final solution. So that lots of questions, and we'll see where it goes. The thing I want to make sure everybody understands, and Esther and I had a conversation about this today, no matter what decision comes up, whether the money is put in the capital budget for off-island disposal or whether it's not, there are casualties on either side, whether it is businesses losing money here in town because the stuff will be shipped off and the contracting work won't be done locally, whether it's a concern that the casualty would potentially be the environment. In the